Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When LAPD officers who beat Rodney King were acquitted on criminal charges in 1992, neighborhoods in South LA erupted in riots and looting. It was a story for over a week. As LA burned, often lost in the coverage, was the reason for the riots in the first place. The beating of an unarmed black man by police.
Now, as protests that started in Minneapolis after the death of George Floyd and quickly spread to cities across the country, the focus of news coverage shifted away from police abuses and towards, once again, rioting and looting. Mark Brown is a longtime anchor of ABC7 Eyewitness News. He covered the 92 riots as a field reporter for ABC7. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So, are we doing, and when I say we, all of us in the media, television, radio, newspapers in this town, elsewhere too, have we learned any lessons in your view from 92, or are we making the same mistakes?
Well, I hope we're not making the same mistakes. I'm not privy to what's going on. I haven't been able to really watch any of the other stations, frankly, because I've been on the air so much.
Right.
I am certainly not privy to the decisions that are being made behind the scenes about what to cover and how to cover it. What I know is that I have certainly learned lessons, and I think we have learned lessons at the place that I work about how to cover with sensitivity and with a sense of understanding what we're covering.
So how do you stay, how do you try and stay mindful of it when you are live on the air, right? And we all know the term, and people just, you concentrate on violence and looting because cameras will go where this is happening, but the if it bleeds, it leads kind of scenario. How do you try and maneuver this?
Well, I just try to, myself, and I think the, you know, my colleagues, we try to keep in mind why this is happening. This wouldn't be happening if not for the precipitating events of the George Floyd murder and also the things that have occurred before that, of course, all these different incidents over the years that have occurred. And so, you know, riots don't just happen. You know, they happen for a reason, and the reason is that people feel that they've been ignored and that these incidents keep happening and nobody's doing anything about it. And I think to go back to that and remind people, remind our viewers and remind those who are watching that this sprang from something and that this is a reaction. It's not just a spontaneous event.
Now, of course, one thing that has changed, among others, of course, in the past few decades, is news staffs do tend to be more diversified, I think, which is a good thing. But there's also a loss of a lot of institutional memory, too, because there have been so many cutbacks in our own industry. And I wonder, therefore, if some of those lessons that should have been learned have now been forgotten because some of the people who are out there reporting the news just don't have that in their DNA.
Well, I don't know if it's necessary. I don't know if sensitivity is learned. I mean, if you're new at this, if you have a certain sensitivity or mindset of that comes from, you know, your own perspective, and that's where I think having diversity helps. Having a lot of people from different perspectives helps. That I think can be an element that doesn't necessarily require institutional memory. I do think that even I learned lessons from 92. I'm not going to say that the way I covered things in 1992 as a field reporter was perfect, but I'm covering it in a different way now because I'm also kind of, from a different perspective. I'm not on the street. I'm on the desk. But I think what I've seen is that we're at least asking the questions. We're asking people, why are you out here? We're doing much more of that, and getting to the why of what's going on as much as the what.
Yeah, to that point, I was going to ask you, have you seen video, you know, as you've been there, or have you guys aired things that you know you probably wouldn't have aired back in 92, but you are airing this time, interviews, asking those questions?
Oh, without question. You know, there's people have always been critical of the news media, and rightly so. We don't get it right. In 92, we would interview somebody live on the air, and they might say something like, you guys are showing X. I remember the Korean Americans were upset that we showed Korean American store owners defending their stores with firearms. And other people were upset that we were, about various things. And they were upset with us. They would tell us that live, but you wouldn't see that interview again. What we are doing, because we are conscious that we're not perfect and that these attitudes and voices need to be heard as well, that are critical of us, we have run interviews that are questioning the news media's role in this. And that is that's always been this station's commitment, is to hear voices from around the community and to listen to everybody. And even if they're critical of us, to let people who are critical of us have a voice.
Okay, so these are some of the lessons that were learned as a result of the coverage of Rodney King and some of the other unfortunate events that have happened in the past few decades. What lessons do you think will be learned from this?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think I think that one thing that occurs is there is so much misinformation out there. There is so much, people are saying that the people who are doing the vandalism, the looting, they're either from Antifa or they're white supremacists or they're opportunists or they're part of the movement that's anti-police brutality. And there has to be an understanding that there are a lot of people who have glommed onto this discussion in this movement that have nefarious motives. And whatever motivates them, there is a central theme that is part that is driving this. And if we remember to report the central theme, we don't know, the other parts. We don't know who the people are that are doing the vandalism. We don't know for a fact who and on what side of the political spectrum or both sides or whatever the instigators are. All we can say is that there are people who are driven by a pure motive to demonstrate, and that is the vast majority of everybody. And then there's these other people that are showing up and doing crazy things that may have all kinds of different motives, and we don't know what they are.
Now, of course, one of the things...
We just have to report all of that.
One of the big things that has changed, certainly, from the days of Rodney King to now is social media, right? So a lot of these episodes that you're talking about with all this misinformation out there, a lot of that is driven by Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, places like that didn't exist decades ago.
Right. And so it's easy to get information out, and it's easy to get disinformation out. And we can't believe everything that, and we don't. We don't believe everything.
Everything that's on the internet,
yeah. Well know,
it must be true.
No responsible news person believes everything they see on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We have to vet it the same way we do everything.
Yes, but does
it from a reasonable, responsible source?
But does that become a distraction? Because you don't, years ago you may have had some erroneous tips. Somebody would call in, on the phone, and you'd have to track that down. Now you have to track down. You see something on one platform, then you see something that's contradictory on another. Doesn't that make the job of trying to ferret out the truth so much more difficult?
I guess it does, and it's hard to do it in real time. I think what we're trying to do is stick with what we can ourselves verify and what we ourselves see with our own eyes and ears and the sources that we have. It's even, people can put video out there. You think video can be indicative, but, you could have video from a previous incident or some other incident that could be thrown out here as, here's an example of X, Y, or Z, and if you just run with it, then you could make a real big mistake. So we're going with what we can verify, and I'm sure that, everybody who's responsible is doing the same thing.
Mark Brown, ABC7, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.